On Memorial Day, we recognize those people who have died in service. And the beginning, the origin of Memorial Day, it was called Decoration Day, and people would go out and decorate the graves of those who had passed away in the service. And it started out in the North, and they did it for the Union troops. And I still remember when we moved to Houston in the 70s, and was hired, and they were talking about when the holidays were for that company. And I said, well, what about Memorial Day? And they said, well, that's a Yankee holiday. So it's pretty much celebrated universally now. But as I was thinking about that phrase that we use of someone giving their lives, to recognize that we're always giving our life in every moment. We're giving our life, we're giving our energy, we're giving our attention to something. And so to be aware of what it is that we're giving our energies to, and to realize that we're always taking something as well. And many times what we take from life is not necessarily what someone intended to give. And you know, we can all have an experience together, and every person has their own interpretation of that. It's always interesting when Meredith and I go to an event and afterwards we're talking about it. It's the same event, same people were there, but we had very different experiences about what it was about, and sometimes don't agree on what it was that was happened or said. And that's the experience that we have. And so we each take from something according to what our consciousness is, what we're interested in. Again, probably related to what it is that we're giving from our lives as well. And what struck me as I was thinking about this is that a lot of it's connected to the memory, the way that we remember experiences and the way that we remember people. And is there a way to draw the best from these memories? Some of these memories are good, but some of them we may have a tinge of regret for our part in that, or maybe a tinge of not appreciating what somebody did or said. But is there a way that we can draw from that in a way that makes it a different experience? And so there's outer wars that we have. And one of the things that struck me when we were in Italy is that every place that we're in, particularly in Sicily, that those cities and those territories have been conquered over and over and over again by different groups from different parts of the world. Even the Normans had built castles in Sicily. Yeah, so there were people from all over that were there. And it strikes me how in those outer wars, again, it's looking for something that's probably missing from inside, but looking for an outer way to satisfy that. And many times we have judgments about this and that. But I remember hearing a woman who was a Jew, a Dutch Jew, talking about her experience, similar to Anne Frank's story of being hidden away by a family, although in this case, she was not found. In fact, there were thousands and thousands of Jews that were hidden by Dutch families that were saved from the Nazis. And one of her comments was so interesting. She said, I will never be a pacifist. She says, because I still remember and celebrate the day that the Canadian troops came, the Canadian soldiers came and freed us from the Nazis. And so there's this recognition that whatever the experience is, that we're going to draw from it something according to, where we are and what we've given to it. And again, that takes me to this and some of the inner wars that we have, that we are troubled by some of the memories that we have, and we battle ourselves and sometimes battle others inside of our own head. And rather than having these experiences be troubling, they can be transformative for us if that's the intention that we make and that's what we want. The scripture that we have today comes from the words of Jesus recorded in Mark. And the disciples were having a discussion about some experiences and a misunderstanding of what he had said. And so he challenges them and he says, having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear? One of the translations says, having eyes, you don't really see. Having ears, you don't really listen. But he says, don't you remember? And he's inviting them to remember the blessings, to remember the miracles, to remember the transformation that they've not only seen, but they've been a part of. They had gone out and had miracles that they had worked themselves. And so he says, don't you remember? Don't you remember this connection that's there? And again, what happens is that our memory is selective and it's subjective. And so we're remembering certain things and we're invited to open that up. So my lesson title today is Sweet Memory. And hoping we can sweeten our memories and have this experience. And really what it's about is remembering the blessings that have nourished our souls and let that work as well. So we all have memories of people and experiences. And so I wrote this little skit to sort of help us see how things from the past, people from the past, are still influencing us today. So Ron, if you'd provide the music and if our players would come up.
It's fun to play cards together.
It reminds me of when we used to visit Grandma's.
We had a lot of fun at Grandma's.
I remember her laugh.
More of a cackle than a laugh.
You laugh like that sometimes.
I didn't mean to do that.
Board's a play. You can't take it back. Grandma would have said, board's a play.
Yeah, she would have said that.
I remember drinking Royal Crown Cola at her house.
Yeah, we never had that at home.
Those memories are still strong.
Don't make a mess.
Yeah, Grandma always liked things in order.
Place for everything
and everything in its place.
It's like she's still here with us.
Aren't we blessed?
Yes, we are.
Thank you so much. So thank you, Ron. And thank you, Charlene and Karen and Eric, for coming back and doing that again. So have you ever had conversations like that? You know, being in the middle of something, realizing the influence of someone who's, they may not be physically present, but their presence is still there, still influencing us, making a difference in our lives. And so it's recognizing that these memories are real and they do have an impact on where we are and what we're doing. And so the gift that we can give ourselves then is this, is that I savor the blessings of my life with gratitude. Let's say that together. I savor the blessings of my life with gratitude. When we were in Italy, one of the things that I thought was amusing was traveling with Americans who don't always appreciate espresso. And so they would order American coffee. And American coffee was this. Instead of the espresso coming in a little espresso cup, the same amount would come in a big cup with a pot of water and sugar for you to add water to the espresso and to add some sugar. So that was American coffee. So to sweeten our memories a little bit, let's do some work here. So the first is to consider our memories. And as we do, as we have memories of experiences, to pay attention to whether or not those memories are nourishing for us or whether they're taking away from our energy. And then to monitor that and then to take charge of that. And again, the memories that are nourishing, that are energizing, to cherish those. And the ones that aren't, to do some work with. And we'll talk about that work in a minute. Sometimes that work is release. Sometimes that work is forgiveness. Sometimes that work is to busy ourselves with something else in our mind. And as I mentioned before, again, we have different versions of that. So recognize that it's not about right or wrong, whether we're remembering it right or not, but remembering it in a way that's helpful, in a way that's energizing for us so that we can move ahead. So in order to do that, we need to look at what's the context for the memory. What was going on? Where were we in consciousness? Where was the other person in consciousness? And to recognize that in that awareness of consciousness, that we are spiritual beings in the midst of a human experience. Do we always remember that we're spiritual beings? No, we don't, do we? We most of all get caught up in that drama of he said, she said, or didn't do, or whatever. I was watching the neighborhood kids play the other day. They play every day, but they don't really like each other very much. But they live across the street from each other, so that's who they play with. And it was real interesting to watch the dynamics that were there, and how they would, get their noses bent out of shape and would quit in the middle of the game. And I thought, gee, that's just like us adults, huh? Well, that's how we learn these experiences. And we want to grow through them in a different way. And so part of that is to have that context that, yes, we are spiritual beings, but most of the time we're not living up to it. Most of the time we don't have a clue that that's who we are. And we certainly can't expect that others are always going to live up to that either. And so to hold ourselves in this way of understanding. And what came back to me is that line from Jesus when he's on the cross. It says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I go, that's me. Most of the time I've forgotten who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's why I did that. So when we have that context, rather than the judgment about it, it's reminding to reconnect with something greater in our lives, or something more. There's a poem that I share from time to time, and I had someone come in for counseling this week, and I was sharing the poem with that person, and it reminded me of it. And it's in the hymnal if you want to read. It's 248 in the hymnal. It's written by Martha Smock, who was a longtime editor of the Daily Word. And she talks about looking back at our lives, and she says, could we but see the pattern of our days, we should discern how devious were the ways by which we came to this, the present time, this place in life, and we should see the climb our soul has made through the years. We should forget the hurts, the wanderings, the fears, the wastelands of our life, and know that we could come no other way or grow into our good without these steps our feet found hard to take, our faith found hard to meet. The road of life winds on, and we, like travelers, go from turn to turn until we come to know the truth that life is endless and that we forever are inhabitants of all eternity. To me, that's just such a precious poem because it helps me see that wherever I'm standing on my path as I look back, I have compassion for myself, have compassion for others, and then also have a commitment to going forward with a greater consciousness. And so that context makes all the difference in our lives about understanding where we are and what we need to do. And so one of the keys in that process of understanding the context is forgiveness. And, you know, Gretchen's forgiveness workshop is coming up. It'll start next Sunday. And Maria did the announcements of first service. She mentions that she'd taken it a couple years ago. She's planning to take it again. And sometimes there's a part of my mind that says, well, forgiveness is something I'll do it once and I'll be done with it. But forgiveness is a practice. And like anything that we practice, if we want to be operating at a high level of performance, we need to keep practicing and keeping that intensity going up. And so I invite you to consider that as part of your process of shifting the context in your experience about yourself and others by doing that work in a greater way. So, and another part that I want us to work on today is I've got a handout that I'd like for you to have. So if I could have a couple people help pass these out. So okay, well, here. Well, we can do several people can help, so doesn't need to be, okay. So, and on this sheet, and we've done something similar to this before, but I wanted to take it a little bit, a little farther today. On the left-hand side is a left-hand column, and what it says is, who are the people I respect who inspire me? So I want you to think about people in your life that you respect, that inspire you. Abraham Lincoln is always at the top of my list, my dad, several of the teachers in my life that I've had. There's one of my neighbors that I have that gets on my list. So people that have made a good impression on you, have given you good experiences, people that you respect, people that have been a blessing to you. So that's on the left-hand side. And then once you've got that list of names, and again, I put 5 spaces there. You can write 2 or 3. If you've got 6 or 7, just make some more lines, you know, make it work for you. On the right-hand side, as you look at that, what it says are, what are the qualities that these people express. Why do I respect them? Why am I impressed by them? Why have they made a difference in my life? Again, when I think of Abraham Lincoln, I think of humor as one of his gifts. I think of being clear about values and perseverance. He had to persevere through all kinds of things. So those are some things I think about him. With my dad, it's almost the same list. It's humor. And he had to go through all kinds of experiences and had to, you know, do all kinds of permutations to get to what it was that he wanted to create for himself and for his family. So write down the qualities for these people that are making a difference for you. So as you look at that, the people that inspire you and the qualities about them, their values, their principles. And then as you've completed that list, and again, you can work on it more later if you want to, then just for the moment, ignore the names and just look at those qualities and see if you would agree with me that those are your values, that those are the things that are important to you. Maybe not everything. There may be other things that aren't on those lists. But you may find that for a couple people, there's some of the things repeat. Some of those things that were important to you about them were same for one person and for another person. And so those values may be higher on your list than some of the other values. And so just a way to look at and then to ask ourselves, am I living out these values? Am I expressing these things in the way that I live my life, in the way that I do my business, in the way that I show up with other people? Am I revealing that these are my values? Would other people know that these are my values by the way that I live my life? And so again, if those values are a context for us, that makes a difference. And it may be that we need to connect with them, to connect with things that empower us to live those out in our lives as well. So this is the work that we have. And one of the things that I found is that sometimes we forget what's important to us. Because, you know, life happens and it's like, you know, like honesty may be important to us, but it's like, well, I don't really want to tell this person why I didn't show up when I said I was because, you know, whatever the reason is. And so there's that old phrase that says that when you're up to your elbows in alligators, it's hard to remember that your object was to drain the swamp. You know, that in the midst of doing things in life, things happen in a way that you didn't predict or project or plan for, and so we're sort of scrambling. So don't forget what's important to you, what your values are. And then when you recognize that you haven't lived up to them and that others in your life aren't living up to them, then we go to the next part of this. So it says, what, comma, who do you need to, and fill in the blank, forgive? That's the word I want you to think about. Who is it in your life that you need to forgive? And again, having that context that they're spiritual beings caught up in a human experience, maybe forgetting who they are, and that you're a spiritual being and that you may have forgotten who you were from time to time. To have that context about what's the work of forgiveness that needs to happen there so that you can live in a different way, that you can work in a different way. So and now connect. Let's look to connect some more. So connect with empowering memories. What are the memories that are there? How do we remember this presence of God? How do we remember these values? How do we remember what's important in our lives? And there's a Bible verse in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 8, verse 18, where it says, you shall remember the Lord your God. And remember when the Lord, L-O-R-D, in capital letters in the Old Testament means the I Am presence. You shall remember that the I Am presence is your God, and it gives you power to get wealth. And I want us to think of wealth here, not just in terms of material wealth, but in terms of value. That presence of God in you is a power to help you hold on to that value so that you can live from that value. And so part of it is connecting to what's important for us. Connecting to that, and again, and we do that by reminding ourselves. How do we remind ourselves that love is important? How do I remind myself that's important for me to tell the truth? How does it remind myself to use humor when things get a little tense? You know, and to build that into your day on a regular basis so that's what you're expressing from. That's what you're working in your life. There's a piece about remembering that was written by Robert Test. It's titled, To Remember Me. The day will come when my body will lie upon a white sheet, neatly tucked under four corners of a mattress, located in a hospital physically occupied with the living and the dying. At a certain moment, a doctor will determine that my brain has ceased to function and that, for all intents and purposes, my life has stopped. When that happens, do not attempt to instill artificial life into my body by use of a machine, and don't call this my deathbed. Let it be called the bed of life, and let my body be taken from it to help others lead fuller lives. Give my sight to a man who has never seen a sunrise, a baby's face, or love in the eyes of a woman. Give my heart to a person whose own heart has caused nothing but endless days of pain. Give my blood to a teenager who was pulled from the wreckage of his car so that he might live to see his grandchildren play. Give my kidneys to one who depends on a machine to exist from week to week. Take my bones, every muscle, every fiber, every nerve in my body, and find a way to make a crippled child walk. Explore every corner of my brain. Take my cells, if necessary, and let them grow so that someday a speechless boy will shout at the crack of a bat and a deaf girl will hear the sound of the rain against her window. Burn what is left of me and scatter the ashes to the winds to help the flowers grow. If you must bury something, bury my faults, my weaknesses, and all my prejudices against my fellow man. Give my sins to the devil, give my soul to God, and if by chance you wish to remember me, do it with a kind deed or word to someone who needs you. If you do all that I have asked, I will live forever. So what are the things that we want to connect with to empower us, to strengthen us? Again, we have to keep those in front of us to move ahead so that then we can create new memories that are going to nurture us, new blessings in ourselves. So on the handout, there's a couple of, let's fill in a couple more blanks here. How can I see myself and others as children of God? How can I see myself and others as children of God? That's the connection that we want to make. And again, to practice that in our minds. And then the last one, what memories do I want to create? What do you want to create for yourself? And again, that's up to us to do that. I got an email this week from Brandy White, who's one of our members. And she said, I just want to share something with you. She says, a while back, my life was in some difficult times. So every day I'd take a walk and pray and show gratitude for the beauty around me. And on my walk, I found a small shell. And I decided to keep it and make it my gratitude rock. I guess you'd heard about a gratitude rock. It's a shell, but she's calling it her gratitude rock. I carry it in my pocket, and every morning it's there by my keys. And as I put it into my pocket, I think of the things I'm grateful for. Since this, my life has changed. I thank God for giving me that shell. It reminds me to be grateful for what I have. So that's the email she sent me. So I emailed her back. I said, can I use this on Sunday? And she said, yes. And she wrote more. She says, I think it's important for us to find ways to remind ourselves to be thankful for what we have in life. Even when I start to feel down about something, I reach in my pocket and it's there. I believe that a positive thought is more powerful than a negative one, and having an object to help me remember to be positive and thanking God is so helpful. And it says, and to know not to take one moment of life for granted. So that's what we want to have, is recognize that this moment is where we create the new memories. You know, in the skit that we had, you know, they're remembering grandma, but aren't they creating memories in those moments as well? The laughing together and that sharing. And so that's what we get that opportunity to do. What are the memories that you want to create? And maybe you have some memories with someone that aren't the best. Well, say, let's make some new memories. Let's make some greater memories in life. In brain science, they talk about how when we have a thought, there's a connection made between brain cells. And if we have that thought again and again and again, more connections are made between those same cells. And the way that I see it is this, it's like a river flowing through the valley. And as that river keeps flowing through the valley over days and weeks and months, it digs and carves deeper until after a while it's like the Grand Canyon. And so we can have that same thought over and over again about what she did to me back then, and we can just keep that trail, that deeper, 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 wider in our thoughts. Or we can say, no, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to remember this context that, you know, I could have done things different, she could have done things different. We're spiritual beings. We didn't remember that. We didn't live that out. And so I'm going to fill that in. And I'm going to make this new pathway. I'm going to make this new way for my energy to flow, for my new way to live, for my new way to think, new way to give of myself. Uh-huh. Batteries only last so long. So in that, we're creating for ourselves that which is going to bless us, that which is going to energize, that which is going to nurture us, so that our lives then are filled with these sweet memories of life. So again, thinking about this, memory is subjective. We draw from those experiences according to our consciousness. And so don't subject yourself to the pain of the past. Don't think about what you're going to take from life, but what you're going to give to life. That if it's been troublesome, make it transformative. Master your memory. Consider the memories of yours that have been helpful. Let the context be for my growth. Let the connection be with that living presence of God that is feeding you and nourishing you and inspiring you. And then make sure you're busy creating new memories for yourself and for others. Use your memory in a positive, healing way, and then you will have sweet memories. Let us pray. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for giving us eyes that see that we are a part of your living presence. Thank you for giving us ears that hear the sweet whisper of your inspiration within us to live up to the values, the principles that you have planted within us. We are grateful, and we remember that we are blessed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.